Hello.
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 There's my video.
Here he is. Hello, James. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. Good, thank you.
Is this your orientation of my phone okay? So
Perfect. It's a portrait orientation, so it's good. It's good.
hey man. We
Lisa was on to me there. Lisa, your Lisa Coverdale, saying she might as well just done this interview. She was like, ask James this, ask James that, tell him he's this and that. But I'm not going to do that. But I will just say thank you to Lisa for arranging this, because otherwise she'd have my head. And thank you, James, for taking the time out to chat to us about your new album and other stuff that we'll talk about.
Well, thank you for taking the time to listen to the album and chat to me about it. So yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm a fan. Venny is a mega fan, so he's like,
A little bit.
if he starts muttering and stumbling, I might have to jump in and save the day.
Awesome.
I'm just going to go straight for the jugular, James. Do you think this is the best album Tesseract have ever made?
I think it's probably the most thought out and most I know most detailed, most I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think the most amount of work's gone into this album compared to any of the others, other than maybe the first album. The first album, I guess, is was kind of like a combination of all the work from the very first demos up until release. It's like 8 years or so, whereas all the other albums prior to this have been essentially up against deadlines and a bit of a rush job. Sort of, you have to do a tour, you have to do this, you have to do that, and and albums just had to be done when they were done. Whereas, and in a weird way, I think COVID was a bit of a blessing because it allowed so much more time to really get this one right. And I think the combination of time, combination of having a bit more of a budget, so we could do things like record with real drums and enable sort of some jamming sort of situations to bring a bit more of an organic feel to the record. And also combined with, I guess, the maturity of the band, I think I'd say, yeah, you're probably right. I think it probably is the best Tesseract record.
Benny, being a super fan, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very biased. I really love the last two albums. I love it when your band, in particular, they clearly are hugely expansive and highly technical and everything else. And when you've been able to condense that down into the shorter format and those punchier tracks, I've just loved those last two albums. And so I had a huge amount of anticipation and listening to this new album. And to be really honest, the first couple of times it slightly washed over me, but like all good, I think everyone knows the very best albums are the ones that you just need to listen to, and they get their hooks into you. And the only it kind of reveals itself after several listens. And so I very much found this, as I say, the first few times, I wasn't blown away, but it's only been through listening to it a few times that I've really loved it. So yeah, I guess on that vein, what's the reaction been like to the record since it was released last week? The responses seem to have been overwhelmingly positive. We couldn't have been happier, really. I think you are right. The last two albums, definitely everything went a bit more sort of traditional song based. Whereas on this record, we did go back to like the idea of just seeing where music goes and like having long pieces of music and making it a lot deeper and more complex. And I think that was actually a slight conscious thought on our part. Just because it was a way to freshen things up and make it interesting to us again, and I guess we hope that if it's interesting to us, it's interesting to others. But yeah, I think like because the first song, War of Being, was obviously an 11-minuter. Our thinking behind putting that first was let's come. Yes, we've been away for 5 years. Let's put out a massive chunk of music, and like all the old school fans absolutely loved it because they were sort of thinking about. Took them back to sort of like the Concealing Fate kind of period, and also to a degree, Altered State is essentially sort of in four chunks. So I think it basically the response was very positive with a lot of like the old early fan base, which is basically what we saw. And I suppose maybe I don't know. It's an interesting point you raise. Maybe there will be a slower burn with people that are more used to like the newer, more song-based stuff. I don't know. But yeah, I think overall, though, I think we're really pleased with the response. Couldn't be happier.
I'm a bit like Venny that it took a couple of listens, but it's been on repeat now for like the last few days, definitely. And I'm a big prog, like Opeth are my favorite band ever. So the more expansive the songs, the better. And like, although Echoes is my favorite track on the album, the second track, I think Warbeing is one of those sort of ballsy sort of statements that I think has paid off brilliantly. And I think coupled with like all the videos and artwork that visualizations that obviously goes into the band, this album to me is just huge. Like, how happy are you with it as a band and individually?
Yeah, I think I think we're the happiest we've been with the record. I know Dan in particular has always been kind of unhappy with the level of vocal production, and to a degree sometimes he hasn't felt he's given his best performances on previous records, whereas on this album he really had the opportunity to really go to town on the vocals and really work with the producers to get it exactly how he wanted it sounding. And then also, I guess there's all the, as you say, all the videos and all that, the concepts, which is a lot of Amos's sort of thinking that ties into it. And I think that it's the most we've ever gone down that route, having like a whole story, having videos that tell parts of the story and everything linking together. I mean, we've always sort of lent in that direction, but this is the first time I think we've actually managed to do something as complete as it is. I think overall everyone's super happy with it, and now we're in a position where, oh my God, what we're going to do next? Because like, have to wait another 5 years probably.
But
Hopefully not.
I think that goes back to sort of like COVID, because you obviously did Portals during that time, and that was an amazing piece of art. Like, I can't, was it live streamed or was it pre-recorded? I can't remember at the time, but obviously.
It was live streamed, but it was live streamed in the way that most people live streamed it. So it was actually pre-recorded and
Yeah, it's okay, fair enough.
then.
But that obviously, like you were saying, COVID sort of gave you that break and gave you the time to really think things. And I think Amos has done a brilliant job on, I mean, I think, like I said at the time, because loads of bands are doing it. Like, I think Enslaved were one of the first ones I saw doing live, and then it sort of rattled on. But I think you guys just went like really balls out. Was that from your own? I don't mean to get too personal, but is that from your own pockets? Because it must have been a fairly big production that.
It was a fairly big production, but our record label funded it actually, because there was the whole plan to release it as, you know, vinyl and DVD and so on, and as a ticket event. So they advanced us a good amount of money. But yeah, it wasn't a cheap thing to do, but it was actually one of the things that financially really helped us in COVID, because it did do quite well financially, which we couldn't tour, we couldn't, which is the normal way to make money. So it did help sort of bridge that gap a little bit, which, I think we would have been in a much worse off situation if it wasn't as successful as it was. But yeah, I think, remember some of the early live streams, because we were talking about doing it. I remember Behemoth did one, which was exceptional. And
Yes.
that was kind of like the benchmark of, okay, well, this is how good they can be. Now we know how high we have to aim, and I'm not, I don't know, I don't want to compare the two, because they're both very different. So I'm not saying one is better or worse, but I think we had that in mind, that we wanted to try and get to that sort of level in terms of the production. And yeah, but we went about it our own way. But
Funny.
Yeah, I mean, you've actually answered a lot of the question. I sent a few questions earlier to Joey just in anticipation of the interview, but you kind of addressed them already, in particular whether it was a conscious decision to go to a more expanded song structure and styling, and you kind of said that it was. I guess what in follow-up to that, I'd maybe pick you up on something you mentioned earlier, that, and it's actually something that lyrically you make reference to in one of the tracks in the song, but about being older and wiser and more experienced, and how that's fed into the process of writing the record and how it's changed how you operate, I guess, as a band.
I guess as any sort of band or group of people doing anything over time, I guess you grow and you mature and do things differently. We've been doing this. I mean, Tesseract's been around for 20 years now, basically, which is kind of crazy. It was a solo project, but you know, that was Ackle on his own from 2003 to 2006. But then 2006, we formed then as a live band, and Dan joined in 2009. So we've been working together for a long time now, and I think just over a long period of time, you sort of fall into a groove of working together, and also I guess with an experience of touring loads and being in the business for a while, I guess learn to focus on the things that are important, and you know, worry less about things which you learn don't matter so much, or things you can't control. I think it's just a general maturity thing, but also I suppose trying to have more confidence as well to experiment more and try new things and push ourselves. I suppose that sort of like older confidence has massively helped as well.
And it seems like, I don't know if this is true or not, but it seems like you each have sort of specific roles within the band outside your instruments, but like you've mentioned, Amos and some of the visual sides, and Ackle with the production, you have a side job in PR, and Dan obviously with the vocals and the solo stuff. Does that, each of you having your own set of interests, help to kind of feed into the whole of Tesseract and hopefully make it a better thing in its entirety?
Absolutely, yeah. He doesn't live here anymore, but when Jay was in the UK, he ran rehearsal rooms. So the first kind of 10 years of us being a band, he basically provided all the rehearsal space and the storage space, and I guess everything we end up doing all kind of feeds into it. There's crossover within, crossover skills in life and then with Tesseract that all help each other. It's probably more information right now, but I guess nobody really knew when we were younger, probably because it was early days before people shared so much on the internet. And also the music industry is also smoke and mirrorsy. But I guess we didn't realize, I know we really realized how difficult it is to sort of survive doing music without, on its own. You basically have to have other things that work alongside it. And so then I guess we all quickly adapted to make sure that we were doing things that could help and complement and work together. So for example, obviously I work, as you mentioned, working music PR with Lisa. If I worked in any other sort of PR discipline, there's no way I'd be able to be like, right, well, I'm going to go on tour for 6 weeks and work on the road. Is that all right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't happen.
You mentioned it before, like touring is the main financial gain for bands. Like you can do records and CDs, but like touring and selling merch is the lifeblood of bands these days. Do you worry, either for yourself or for the future acts coming through, that this might not be sustainable due to Brexit being one example and just inflation, things like that? Do you think it's going to become unsustainable?
No, I think everyone just has to be very prepared to adapt and try and make it work within the conditions that that arise. I guess at the moment, because we're about to go on tour and costs are so much more expensive now than the last time we did a long tour, there is that slight kind of how well is this going to do worry. But it's quite funny at the moment. I've got another band that I'm in, but I'm not playing in at the moment, called Cage Fight, who are on tour at the moment with Necrogoblicon. And and Necrogoblicon basically said, right, well, we're charging this for merch now. And their merch prices were ridiculous. I thought ridiculous. It was like £30 a t-shirt. That sort of level. And they said everyone had to price match. And amazingly, actually, they've been shifting loads of merch even at those sort of prices. So I guess work with any business with inflation, you just have to put your prices up. Like you would in any other business. I mean, that's kind of what happened, I think, with touring. Like touring after COVID, crew was much more expensive, bus hires much more expensive. So then I guess obviously bands need to have higher fees, so then ticket prices go up. I mean, I guess it's just inflation like in any other sort of business. So we've just got to adapt and hope that people still can afford and want to pay for music-related products to keep it all going.
And I don't know if you still do, but you certainly during COVID were on Twitch streaming. Mm-hmm. And I asked you a question on one of the streams. Do you think that touring and doing a live stream of the gig is going to become a thing of the future? Trivium do it. Matt Heafy does it and seems to have kept Trivium afloat during COVID. Is it something you've considered as a band?
Yeah, we did actually talk about doing as a marketing tour as well, just doing a live stream of the gig we're about to take out on tour to try and encourage people to come out. But we didn't get around to doing it. I feel like the whole kind of streaming thing opened up new, a whole new sort of ideas for which will still stick around post pandemic. If I'm honest, like with the whole Twitch thing, we did do some of that when it was like proper lockdown period. But then kind of once that had gone, Dan and Jay kept doing it, and they were quite successful on their own channels. If I'm honest, I wasn't that into it. Like, it's quite difficult.
I loved watching yours because I think at the time you were either in your shed or a garage, and you were sat on a cooler box, and you just used to crack beers open. And I don't even know if you used to play anything. You just used to like stream videos and be like, yeah, this is cool. So enjoyable to watch you just get drunk throughout the night.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. To be fair, I did enjoy doing that because it was just an excuse to get drunk. But yeah, people came in the group and they just submitted videos and we'd all watch the videos and chat about them. That was basically it. But it was really good fun. I enjoyed doing that, but it wasn't very good for my liver.
Yeah. and you're can we talk about Hold Tight for very briefly? That's okay. So I mean, I must say again, thanks to Lisa. Like she sent us the Boss Keloid, I think it was, Fenny. Boss Keloid album. I sort of hit her up and said, look, we're a new podcast, any chance? And she's been fucking amazing. Like, she's set us up with so many opportunities and interviews. I'm interested to know, like, you obviously are in a very successful band, but you also deal with lots of bands who are you're doing publicity for. So this year alone, what apart from your own album, which has been your favourite album you've worked with that you've released or that you've worked on?
Oh, that's really put me on the spot because I've got a terrible goldfish brain, and I guess I'm doing a good like 4 to 6 releases a month, so I'm definitely not going to remember them. but what have I enjoyed doing this year? I've enjoyed doing the Orbit Culture record. That's been really good. They're, if you don't know them, they're a really cool band who's basically sounds sort of like a Swedish melodic death metal version of Trivium, I suppose that's the best way I could describe
it. Great live, yeah.
Yeah, and at the moment, I've got the honour of doing KK's Priest, so I'm doing KK Downing's new album, and so a bit of heavy metal royalty there, so that's always very nice.
Got a reminder email from you today on that, actually, which I must get Venny on.
If you want to chat to Tim Ripper Owens, let me know. Tim's very chatty.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, he's always up for a chat.
That is royalty, yeah.
And yeah, I don't know what else. There are definitely some ones I've absolutely loved and I've completely forgotten because they happened more than.
Obituary.
Oh, I mean, God, that was, yeah, what a way to start the year. The Obituary record is amazing. And it was a really successful campaign. Like, it went down incredibly well. And yeah, again, also, like, they're kind of like heroes from my childhood. So to be like emailing regularly with Donald Tardy was like, yes, still have slightly mild starstruck moments, which is quite funny.
Did you see them on this tour at all?
Yes, I went to see them in Brighton, which was really good.
They're insane for a band who've been going for so long. They look like it's their first ever tour and they're just loving every second of it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're having so much fun and it's wonderful to watch. And they sounded brilliant as well.
Yeah. I mean, I saw them in Dublin and the sound was, it was so loud, like one of the loudest I've ever heard at in the Academy size venue. Sorry, Venny, I don't know if you, did you see them? No.
I saw them when they were with Slayer on the last show, on Slayer's last show, but I didn't see them this time around. But it sounds, there's quite a buzz around it, so it's, you're doing a good job.
Well, I think it's a great record and it's just connected with people, I think, which has helped to facilitate that connection.
What about the new Shining album, Swedish Shining? Have you dabbled in that?
Yeah, no, I've been working on that. That's been an interesting one. The album's amazing, actually. I love the record.
Incredible.
But it's one of those artists where, due to, you know, sort of previous controversies and maybe slightly dodgy opinions, most of the press don't want to know. Like, it's been really hard to get people to pay attention to it, Nicholas is apparently, well, he, yeah, does seem like he's a bit of a lunatic, to be honest. I shouldn't say that. Lunatic is probably not the right word, but he's a very...
what's the word?
He's got a very eccentric personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's actually made it quite a struggle. But then I saw the midweeks this week, so it came out last week, I think. Was it last week?
Yeah, it was the same. Yeah, the 15th, was it, or something?
Yeah, no, it was, wasn't it? It was last week. And I think it was like number 50 in like at least the German midweeks or something like that. So I don't know. I guess they're a band that didn't necessarily need, doesn't really matter. They've got a strong fan base and the record, yeah, it's a brilliant record.
Yeah, And what else is there for the rest of the year that you're working with coming out that people should be psyched for?
I've got another thrash one this month. I've got Nervosa. That's a really good sort of like modern thrash record. Great guitar production on that. Sounds huge. Unprocessed coming up. Tech metal band from Germany.
Who are on your tour, is that right?
Yes. They're on our tour. And the phenomenal guitar, well, instrument. They're all amazing, like virtuoso kids that, you know, put us oldies to shame with their ability.
Is it, what, it just on that point, I mean, I think I've seen them at Art Tangent before, and I really liked their, I think the album before, but I was just interested what your input was in terms of the supports for your big tour, because I mean I think they're great, like in particular the Calistel boys are there was a huge clash at Art Tangent this year, which featured the Calistel boys, but I think they were probably the most popular of all the different stages that people could have gone to. So they're clearly, and that record is fantastic as well. But doesn't necessarily make an automatic bedfellow with Tesseract. So what were your thoughts behind booking the tour supports?
Well, I guess like our management and our agent are the ones who mainly come together with the ideas, but they sort of come to us and see what do we think. But I was involved in some of the conversations with what would work. And I think we definitely just wanted something a bit out there and a bit more interesting. So you could have like, yeah, a typical sort of band from our sort of world, which would sell tickets and do really well. But I think we did want to be a little bit more adventurous. And I think with Unprocessed, They do sit in our world and they're interesting, so that works very well. And the Calais Bellboys is definitely the wild card, but it's also with an opener. I think you can be a little bit have a bit more of a wild card because it's the main support's important for pulling in tickets, whereas the opener I think is more just. I mean, it can be to help with some tickets, but I think it's more just like a. I don't know. It's what. How you make the package different and exciting, and I think they sort of slotted in there. I'm amazed they chose to do it actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting you say about the tickets. So I do wonder, given that they've not been to the UK a huge amount, I imagine there will be a fair appetite to see them just over in the UK. So I imagine they will bring in a few tickets. But yeah, I on purpose chose to see a different band at Arctangent during that clash, knowing that I'd catch them on your tour. So yeah, I think it's great booking.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'm pleased with it. And it's just a bit out of the box and interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
James, I've just got one more question until, and then Benny can see us home if he likes. But I just have to ask while I have you here. You support Dream Theatre in London, Newcastle, Belfast, I believe. Is that
I
right?
think so, yeah. Sounds
Three
about right.
dates. Three dates, yeah. I just want to know from an overall point of view, seeing them live, how much of an experience was it? And secondly, when you see like John Petrucci playing guitar live, how incredible is he?
Well, I guess with Dream Theater, the problem with it is that I've been listening to them since I was a teenager, and John Petrucci was always like this absolute rock god, like genius master whose abilities are kind of untouchable, and I'll never get there. And I still have that thought. So when I watch him playing, he's absolutely incredible. He's still on this kind of massive pedestal of being an absolute genius, which he is, to be fair. But that's also combined with, my teenage nostalgia for like literally being having my mind blown by him. So yeah, I mean it's amazing to watch him every night. I mean he's actually got like a unlike most people nowadays, he actually has like a speaker cabinet, so like sort of pointing backwards, so you can actually hear he's actually got stage sound. So I spent quite a lot of the gigs just going just listening to his guitar,
Okay.
just sitting there just listening to it loud and everything else, and just like I don't know, just being mesmerized by his I don't know his detail and his finesse. Yeah, he's one of the greatest guitar players in rock by a long shot. And yeah, it's a real honor to play with him for a few nights.
I'd say it was a real like childhood. No, you never think it would happen in your wildest dreams, and then to see Dream Theatre, incredible.
Yeah, 16-year-old me was listening to Images and Words, and like somebody said to me, "Oh, you're gonna be going out with, touring with that guy." But like, no way.
Yeah.
I probably would have quit then, just because I wouldn't have felt I was worthy enough. So I just wouldn't even bother.
You are worthy. Benny, anything you want to?
No, I mean, it sounds like you could speak about that all night, but I just want to say thanks very much for taking the time to speak to us. It's been cool to catch up, and yeah, thanks very
Yeah,
much.
no worries. Yeah, thanks for listening to the record and spreading the word. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, James, and look forward to a lot more emails from you of new metal albums in the future.
I'm sure you'll probably get one tomorrow. Right,
Thanks,
nice one, guys.
James.
Thank you.
Enjoy your
Nice
evening.
one. Well, cheers.
Cheers,
Bye.
James.